Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the prince returned to the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. The thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. How quickly you turn on your family members. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. That's an easy one.
Yeah, they were probably tired of reading too.
Not Edeshemeka Unda, but Ed.
Just Ed.
Ed. Let me call it Ed. The other guy wanted to call it Bob, but Bob had been used before. He called it Ed. For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. I'm sure if you take that back to the Hebrew, there is some significance there. Mm-hmm. Don't mean to make light of it.
Oh, no.
But God is the God of joy and love, and it's okay to have fun when you're in His Word. Chapter 23, Book of Joshua. Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remaineth to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, drive them from out from your sight, and ye shall possess their land. And the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. I'm sure Joshua had already chastised them for leaving the people there. He doesn't do it here. He just says, all right, I know you've left some people in your lands. Make sure you don't mix with them. Make sure you don't look to their gods. Don't swear by them. Don't bow yourselves to them. You know, just let them all die out, and maybe things will be okay. God said, don't leave them there, and you've left them there, so the wrath of God is coming. Just let them die out. Don't mingle with them. Cleave unto your Lord God, as ye have done unto this day, for the Lord God hath driven them out before your great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else it be due in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Don't mix with these people. So I just said before, God said, get them out of here, but you didn't. Don't, whatever you do, don't mix with them. Now for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes. The same thing Moses had said in his book of remembrance. Until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Everything that God ever said he would do for you, he has done. And I'm out of here. Therefore it shall come to pass, that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. So he's giving a prophecy just as Moses did. about what would happen, because they've already left the inhabitants in the land with them. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. And that's what they immediately start doing. Chapter 24, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, called for the elders of Israel, and for the heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. Read number 3 again. Mm-hmm. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Okay, there's a whole lot between the lines there.
Yes.
God said Noah's lineage was perfect. And he took him into the ark, and his three sons, his wife, and their three daughter-in-laws. He took them in the ark. He said his line was not polluted, because all the other lines had been polluted. You go back to version 1, episode 1, between the lines, you'll find out there was a lot more happened in the garden than just an apple. There were two children in the womb of Eve, two different fathers. We got two lines. They ever occur to you when God said to the woman, there'll be enmity between you and the serpent, his seed and your seed? Where does the serpent's seed come from? There are many, many things in there, and it's all right there in black and white, you know. Cain was not fathered by Adam. And it even comes when Seth is born, the Bible says, and this child was in his likeness, Adam's likeness. Why would you have to do that? You know, just say Adam had another son. But no, this one was in Adam's likeness. And there's many other clues. You catch episode 1. And the two lines, but he says Noah's line was perfect. He saved his people. But there were others saved too. You go back to the ancient text, the Samaritan text, and it says the Tubal Cain took his clan to the highest mountain, and they survived. Satan has his plan. God has his plan. And if you look in Genesis where the flood is, there's a lot of things, if you read real slow, God says, I destroyed all life that I put the breath of life into. There were others here, unsanctioned. The seed of the serpent. That's what he says. I took Abraham from the other side of the flood, Noah's line. You know, there was all kinds of people here. But I brought Abraham out of Noah from the other side of the flood, which I wiped out all that I had put in the breath of life into. So I wanted a pure line, and Abraham came directly from Noah. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and gave unto Esau Mount Seir, and possessed it. And Jacob and his children went down unto Egypt, and I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers in chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. When they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. Ye dwelt in the wilderness of long seasons. So it's Joshua's doing his own little book of remembrance here. Moses did, because he knew these people were rebellious. He wanted to give them a little pocket-sized constitution that they could follow, and Joshua's doing the same thing because he knows these people too. I'm glad he's not as long-winded as Moses, though. And I brought you unto the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on this side of the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that he might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. And Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose in a war against Israel, sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. You went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them unto your hand. And you didn't lose a single man.
Yep.
And I sent the hornet before you. The hornet.
Mm-hmm.
He sent angels before you to sting them. He said, I will send my angel before you, and he will put the fear of you in them, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. The hornet, whatever that was, a spirit somehow sent from God, drove them out. And I given you the land for which you did not labor, the cities which ye did not build, and ye dwell in them. The vineyards and olives which ye planted not, do ye eat. And therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, a very evil time for humanity, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, Forbid God that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and that which we did those great signs in all our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Read 19 again. Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your trespasses and your sins. He knows these people. He knows these people. As soon as he's dead, he knows what they're going to do. Just like Moses, to fall on his face dozens of times to keep God from wiping them out. He flat out says it. You cannot. I know you guys. Say whatever you want to me. I know you guys. You'll never be able to do it. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. It doesn't matter what he's done for you. As soon as you serve other gods, he's going to wipe you out.
If you're his person or not.
That's right. No respecter of persons. He's a respecter of the heart, Christian. That's all he wants is your heart. He doesn't want your money. Because if he has your heart, he has your mind. God says, I place the spirit of man in the heart. The mind of man, the Bible says, is contrary to the will of God. And the body is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to subjugate the mind and bring this flesh under reign so it can serve God. The people said unto Joshua, Nay, oh buddy, we will serve the Lord. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Then I got the Israeli flag in front of my tent. We all about serving God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. So he's getting a profession of faith here.
Yep.
It's kind of cool.
Yep.
They won't be able to do it, and they will not do it. But they're giving him lip service. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you already, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up upon under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. But Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. It came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which he had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Now, the elders, this tells me that Israel served God, it says, during time of the life of Joshua and during the life of the elders which were under Joshua. What is that, another 12, 15 years?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. That was a good stretch for them, though.
Yep.
It was a good stretch for them.
It was more than a day.
Yes, it was more than a day. So we've seen that back with Moses, didn't we?
Yep.
God says, Moses, he's been up on the mountain with God 40 days. Get down there. Them people doing bad stuff, Moses. They all naked, running around a field, doing horrible things. Yep. Was, oh, my God, I'm going. Oh. And the bones of Joseph, which the Lord of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. Wow. They're just burying Joseph. Amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In a parcel of the ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Joseph, you know, was sold into slavery into Egypt. And when the famine came, he called his family there. Egypt at the time had a young pharaoh. Joseph became like a father to him, raised him knowing God. And Egypt was actually a God of heaven serving nation at that time.
Yeah.
But 400 years later, they've been taken over. It says the Pharaoh, the Assyrian, is now the Pharaoh. So they've obviously been invaded, taken over. And I mean, they fell from God long before that because the people had been put in bondage. And they're no longer serving God. So God is able to put his wrath on Egypt to remove them. But here, and Joseph, on his deathbed, made them promise. And this is like 440, 450, 60 years now. They've been carrying him in a wooden box.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Things, little things in there,
yeah,
that you don't wrap your head around.
Right, right.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes, sir.
The father of Shechem for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died. They buried him in the hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. Thus begins the reign of Phinehas, high priest. It's going to be a wild ride. And it's been good to be here with you today on WVFF 97.7 Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. Understanding God's Bible, amazing manuscript full of the truths of God. But you just look at it a little bit, you're not going to get it. You got to read it. You got to read it slow. You got to read it methodically. You got to look at all the words and go back and read it over and over and over again. I can't stress it. You read it 1,000 times through. On 1,001st time you read it, you will get something different. It's an amazing manuscript. Basic information before leaving Earth. Don't go home without it, because God's going to say, did you read my book? You know, I'd hate to say no. I'd hate to say only once. I'd hate to say only the 100 and some times that I've read it, because it's not enough. I don't know it enough. I have to look at it more. You need to look at it more, Christian. This is your guidepost to eternity. This is the temporary life. God put you here as a testing ground. Are you worthy for eternal life? Are you worthy of damnation? Although, you know, you only live once. You hear the world tell you that. No, you don't. This is the temporary one. This is the short one. The real life is to come, and it lasts eternity. Make sure you figure it out while you're here. Figure out who Jesus Christ is. Figure out what the first covenant was. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. And then the law came to show these people what they really didn't want. Religion. That's what it was. The law is religion. Things you can do with your hands to make yourself feel holy. You cannot cover your sins with anything you do with your hands. Adam and Eve tried that in the garden. they sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness. It wasn't enough. When you sin, you must die. That's what God said. On this day that you eat of the tree, you will sin. They tried to cover their sins with their hands. God took an innocent animal and shed blood so that they didn't have to die. That's what the law is. Things you can do with your hands to make you feel holy and make your neighbors think that you're holy. But God sent Christ to put it back to the original covenant. He says, follow me with all your heart and get baptized. One is the spirit man professing faith, and the other is the spirit man causing this body to do an outward expression so the world says, hey, that's a Christian. He was baptized. It's that simple. Follow God with all your heart and you'll have no problems. Been good to be with you here on 97.7 WVFF Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.